Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment. Food as sport. Food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me. John Shook and Vinny DiTallo join me today on the show to talk about all things food. I've been a fan of their restaurants, John and Vinny's, for years, and been on some amazing food adventures with them. I cannot wait to talk to them. By the way, if you guys want to watch a night of debaucherous eating with us, one of the first episodes of Vice's Munchies, prior to Vice going complete whack jobs, they took me on an epic night of eating. And I think Michael Rappaport was there, Aziz Ansari was there. And these maniacs started the night off with all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue. So I'm calling this episode The Cheat Meal, because these two dudes are not advocating diets. Enjoy. Neither of you are from here.
No.
No.
When did you move out here?
2002. Yeah, summer 2002, early summer 2002.
And when did Animal open?
2008, summer 2008, we opened Animal.
Summer times are our times.
I think when Animal opened, I think I ate there like three nights a week for the first
we saw you a lot.
6 months. Yeah, and you would make my kids a special dish that was like, you guys were very much like, we don't alter our dishes. And then my kids would come in and you'd go, we'll just give
do it for the kids. Pasta.
Yeah.
We've always done it for the kids.
Yeah. We've always had a soft tart.
Which was amazing. For the kids. Yeah. Because the first time there, I'm kind of like, this is a very, they're making artworks here.
Yeah.
Don't mess with their artworks, but my kid's not going to eat it. Although I will say they both like the snail steak that we used to get.
Man, we should bring that back. I haven't done that one in a while. You know what's crazy about the snail steak was that, so it was, for people that don't know what it was a ribeye steak with basically escargot butter, which it tasted like the French sort of escargot you would get.
But with escargot in it, too.
Yeah. So it just wasn't the flavors of the butter. You actually got the snails and the steak together. Really interesting combination. But then we had somehow maybe taken it off the menu and just kind of like, we give things breaks, you know, it's like, it's a creative thing. You kind of like, I need to do something else. And I need to see something come past me besides this thing, you know, cause you stand there, you see it every night constantly. And, we took it off. And then about a year later, there was a restaurant that opened like right near Animal, literally like a block over. And they started serving like a cheaper steak, like a hanger steak or something. Like this was, ours was a ribeye.
It was insane. And, by the way, it was like a 4-inch thick. It was a, that might even meat paddle. Be too small. It was, it was awesome.
Yeah. And then somebody started running like a hanger steak with escargot butter, like literally a block over. And then it kind of like, that was like one of those moments where we realized we were like infiltrating the culture of restaurants in LA beyond like what we were just actually doing within those walls.
Yeah.
That other people started to look at us like, oh, I'm going to just start lifting and copying kind of like the, you know, like Matsuhisa with Nobu's Yellowtail Jalapeno. It's like all of a sudden it's like
it's everywhere.
Everywhere. Yellowtail Jalapeno, not the steak and escargot butter, but I'd say the chicken sandwich feels like that for us. Like we kind of,
I always having grown up here and but gone traveled a lot and I've actually traveled extensively just to eat. Always say the entire culture of eating in Los Angeles drastically changed when you guys showed up.
Yeah.
But when you guys started doing that stuff, it just became like people got more creative.
Yeah.
Every little restaurant was like, oh, we can do something fun.
Yeah. I always think that it was more of a confidence builder for the city that we didn't have to have these really expensive, fancy restaurants were the only thing that existed and what people were craving. It was like people wanted to eat everywhere. They wanted to eat high, low, mix it together, you know, strip it back. And that's kind of what we did. And then I also think at that same time, Roy Choi kind of came around with the food truck thing, which was another angle. We were kind of trying to, you know, take back some of the things from fine dining we didn't necessarily felt like we needed, you know, the white tablecloths, the, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We wanted to play the music loud. We wanted to serve food that cooks like to cook, and, you know, diners like to eat, and it's not just sort of like pork chop and chicken and filet. And that was kind of our idea of how we approached animal. And then Roy was kind of doing the food truck thing, and it kind of really, it really did make the food scene explode here in Los Angeles. And now it's like, you can't even keep up. There's every it's day insane. There's somebody doing some new cool pop-up that looks good and probably tastes good, and they worked at a good restaurant, and
yeah,
it's wild. It's
you guys really, been to Meze? Cool.
Yeah.
Meze's pretty good.
Yeah, Meze's pretty good. Yeah.
That's the most recent play. All time?
All time, yeah. She used to work with us.
Oh, really?
She was probably a manager at Animal when you were dining there.
Well, that's the other Ashley. Thing about you guys is taking their lineage from you guys is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like when somebody opens a spot and it's like, here's where I was before, and it's any of your places, it's a big sign.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, we feel
well,
really
we also been around now for a minute. I mean, that's part of it as well. You know, it's like in the restaurant group has become so big that a lot of people, you know, pass through. It maybe if it's not direct with us, it might be direct with Ludo or the Sarahs. And I think that that's, you know, really help kind of foster that, you know, in that growth through the city.
Yeah. So I've lived here forever. One of my best nights was eating with you guys. Mm-hmm. And we went to places that I think we ate Roy Choi's Kobe tacos that night.
No, we went to Korean barbecue on 6th Street.
Yeah, you. By the way,
oh wait, this is the Vice thing.
Yeah, let me just say, but yeah, yes. Anybody who wants to watch this can watch this. This is available somewhere on tape.
I'm sure you can find it somewhere out there.
You guys, Munchies. It was Munchies. You guys we're not promoting them.
But. No, but you you orchestrated a night of eating that began with all you can eat Korean barbecue. That was stop one, which you lost people after that. People couldn't. People tapped out.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the idea. It was really to kind of set the boys from the men. You right. know what I mean? And then when the men were ready to go out, we were ready to go eat after it all you can eat.
I don't even remember. What we were looking after this. You know what I think it was? We were looking for the Kogi truck because it was still relatively new then.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like throwing it on Twitter. And then I don't think we found it that night. I can't remember.
We ended up eating tacos, I think, on Western.
Yeah.
Right by the 101, like right there at that mechanic shop.
Fantastic. They had Cabeza.
They're not there anymore. Yeah, it's a Starbucks. Of course, it's a Starbucks now.
Right. Everything's a Starbucks now. It was a nice little auto mechanic.
It was like a little old gas station that then
served tacos.
They had tacos.
Yeah, they would pull that truck in. That truck was good too.
Yeah. I will still freak my kids out if we're walking in like Echo Park or something. The amount that I'll salivate over a bacon wrapped hot dog or somebody cooking up tacos on a flipped over shopping cart that for me is like, this is as good as you're going to get. And they're like fancy kids now who are like, we don't eat that. That's probably not healthy.
I mean, my kids the same way. I'm like, what do you want for dinner? They're like, let's have sushi tonight. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? You're 4 years old. Like, that's not cool at all.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't eat sushi until I was like 19.
Yeah. I was freaked out by it. I did go to the place in the subway in Tokyo.
Oh yeah.
With friends who are kind of like California sushi people.
Yeah.
Who you know, they go to Sushi Park and get kicked out and yelled at.
Yeah.
And they wound up stuffing half the stuff that was served into their pockets because they were just like, that's weird. I'm not eating that.
Yeah.
And you don't want to offend
I would say we were just in Japan recently, and I would say that, you know, culturally, some of the stuff that they eat over there, the American palate just is not even trained for. And like, you put it in your mouth and you're just like, do I like this? Do I not like this? Like, what do I really think about this? You know, like,
you're not familiar with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely some things that are challenging.
I
kind of love that about food.
I did too. I want to be challenged. I think they eat a lot of shells over there, which I find to be weird, like shrimp shells.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big thing over there.
Very good for you, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like fiber?
Protein.
Really?
Protein, yeah.
In the shell?
Yeah.
Okay. I was the only one who would eat them, and suddenly...
Choking hazard.
By the end of dinner, I had a plate full of them because nobody else wanted these shells or these chips they made out of shrimp shells.
Yeah. Could be good.
I ate them all.
Could be good.
Yeah.
You can't complain.
No,
sure.
Definitely
the
not.
Utilization, though. I like the utilization over there. They don't waste anything.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing that's big over there that I think is highly underused here is tendon, which if braised is great, like on a short rib, that piece of tendon that hangs on, that's a tasty thing. Yeah.
You see it at pho places a lot. Animal that's actually mostly. Serves tendon as well. But I would say that, once again, back to that American palate, like a lot of people didn't grow up eating tendon and the texture of it. And like, you know, in your mouth, the mouth feels like kind of like remind you of fat. And like, I think that weirds people out sometimes. So I understand why, but it is delicious. Right?
I agree, man.
It's delicious.
I mean, I that's another thing. When I make short ribs, I'll just go around to my kids' plate and collect them all because they're not going to eat it.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're throwing food away at that point.
True.
Yeah.
True. I think that the tendon is definitely something that people aren't used to in America. We use it in a way at Animal where we
make
turn
a chip
it into,
out of
we
it.
Turn it into a chip. We basically like we cook the hell out of it, and then we kind of cool it down together. We kind of press it all together, and then we slice it very thin on a slicer, and then we dehydrate it. And then we throw it in a fryer and it puffs up like a giant, like chicharrón.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so good. It's very good.
My mouth
no one's ever making that at their house.
No. No. I will.
Hats off to the person that does try to do
that. Yeah, I will just deal with the
pressure. Just come in. Just come to Animal. Yeah. But it is a delicious cut. It is amazing. And I think that was one of our other things was like, let's use some stuff here at this restaurant that no one's using. Pig ears, perfect example. Like, no one was using pig ears on a menu. You had to drive to San Gabriel Valley to eat pig ears in Los Angeles. So it was like we were bringing this stuff to mid-city, you know, and sure enough, now it's like we were buying pig ears then for 69 cents, 89 cents a pound in the first year. Now they're like $4 a pound. It's like I could buy a pork shoulder for the same price. It's like it's because everybody's using them in different ways here in the city. So
it's now
we've seen it kind of screw us in a way too.
Yeah, I also think you were the first restaurant I ever saw spam on the menu.
In a fine dining place,
for a
high-end place.
Right, yes. Yeah, so you could go get it in Musubi somewhere, sure, somewhere.
Yeah,
somebody
Hawaiian
serves
market.
It like that. Yeah, yeah, but at a restaurant, a restaurant that you can't get a reservation to, that there might be a line in front
and
of,
it was,
like, it's a big deal.
Yeah, and the spam was paired with foie gras, which is like known to be in a, you know, 3-star Michelin restaurant. And it was like, we just wanted to take those things and bring them into the kind of everyday culture. And I think that was part of our success there with that restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, it was like being able to tie those things together. But that's that, like, kind of, you know, I always say it's like that young free punk rock spirit that we were just like, we're just throwing this out there, like, let's see if people like it. We cared a lot, you know, but we had a confidence in us that we were kind of like, we'll find our people, we'll find the people that like it. But then, you know, as you move down the road in life, you realize how, you know, silly you were to kind of do this, and like how much this could have just like tipped the scale into being a huge failure, you know, and like, but it became a huge success.
I guess anything can be, you guys were ballsy though.
Oh yeah.
And of course that could be a failure, but you guys are sitting on, I mean, who else has, nobody else has an empire of restaurants in Los Angeles like you.
Yeah, there's a couple people, but there's not many of us here. Not many of us here. And I think, like, we definitely came into the scene from not having worked here and grown up through the ranks here. You know, a lot of these people worked at restaurants prior to here in Los Angeles, and kind of, you know, it's like that thing. You're like, oh, there's this guy. He's like, you know, he's coming up. It's like, you know, kind of like acting. You're like, oh, I heard about this kid at the theater. He's like, he's doing some amazing, he's got this part and he's killing it. And before you know it, he's taking a small part in a movie. And then he's like, oh my God, 4 years later, he's this gigantic star, you know? And it was kind of like, we didn't really come up here in the restaurant scene. We didn't work for a lot of the chefs that were the generation before us. We kind of came in, we moved from, well, we were in Florida, but we had stopped in Colorado for about 6 months to just ski and snowboard. And then
we were working
a lot, actually. And then came out here, and we worked at one restaurant here, and we got lucky and worked for a great person. And it kind of spun into so many other things beyond the restaurant with him. You know, it was Ben Ford. He owned
Ford's Fueling Station. Well,
that was his restaurant after, but before that it was Chadwick over in Beverly Hills, and that's where we landed here. And then the restaurant went out of business, and Ben really took care of us and kind of opened some doors for us. And John and I have always kind of just like we ran right through them and just kind of took whatever we possibly could grab at the time.
Just kept running.
There's a good you chicken ever seen sandwich. Forrest Gump? Yes,
with that running scene.
Run, just run.
That's us. Beard's getting longer, hair's getting longer. We just keep running.
You get to Mississippi, and it's like keep going.
That's it. Yep.
You know? Definitely keep going once you get there.
I'm so. My ideas of my thoughts about food, I didn't think about food prior to like going on a diet. I just ate mostly fast food because I think when I was a kid, we were not like, it was definitely like that stuff's not good for you. You're not going to eat that. So the minute I had any autonomy, I was just eating nothing but fast food pretty much and got insanely big. But didn't care about food. My first diet, I spent the majority of my time watching Food Network as some sick sublimation of like, how do I get some kind of connection to food? Well, I can just watch it. And it is like pornographic at a point.
Yeah.
But even then, nothing on that channel was radical. It was all, you know, like I saw Gordon Ramsay talking about what he served Tony Blair and Putin, and he's like talking about this fillet of sea bass, and I'm listening to him, and I'm going, that sounds real boring. You know, you guys, I feel like you're so radical that you've come and really shaken it up. Am I wrong? I don't think I'm wrong.
I mean, I don't know, because you know, we don't look at ourselves like that. You know what I mean? And I think that's
well, it's just us being us,
but
definitely we've gotten that over the years that it was like animal was a really radical idea in like the way we were putting things together. And some people agreed with it and some people didn't. But I think that, you know, you're doing something different when something definitely has a challenge to it, you know, in the artistic fashion. You know, I think if it makes you feel a certain way, you know, it's you're pushing the envelope.
Yeah. And for us, honestly, we just feel very blessed that we've got to be our own bosses and like, you know, cook the food that we want to cook.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's really amazing. It's like everything that we've put on the menu or every restaurant that we've opened or that we've been affiliated with. It's like, we do that because we like what we're putting out and the people that we're working with. And, you know,
it's highly curated too. Even our partners, right? I mean, like everything's like combed over by us. It's not a very generic idea. You know, it's like, you know, it's funny because we spent so much time on we still do spend so much time on John and Vinny's brand because it's so liked and desired that we're constantly even trying to understand it ourselves. Like it made even bigger splash than what we thought it would. Like we're like, oh, this will be good for the neighborhood. There's no like Italian American joint around here that is doing good quality stuff. And like, we kind of just like, you know, we went into it just the way we go into anything. Like, we feel confident.
There's like someone good. Being like, oh, I love the fusilli with vodka sauce. It's like, to us, you know, it's amazing that you're able to strike that note with so many people. And like, but like when we were making that recipe, it wasn't like we were thinking, oh, we're going to, you know, this is going to be the thing that like we're going to get a lot of people are going to like love. You know what I mean? It's like we love it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, I think that we're lucky that the things that we love, other people love as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been able to ride this kind of killer ride here in LA, and it kind of keeps going. And now it's not even really even about us anymore. It's about the team that works with us. I mean, there's so many talented people that work for us. And
that have given us a lot of time.
Yeah, we got to continue to pave the way for them, you know, and to create opportunity for them. And like, you know, you change, you know, as you grow, you change the way you look at things. And, you know, our restaurants as well. It's like, man, they've all evolved so much. It's like, when's the last time you've been to Animal?
I haven't been to Animal in a while, actually.
Dude, it's fire.
Yeah,
I'm sure. It's fire.
I will say I have been to John and Vinny's more recently.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head prior to having been there, and I've been there a few times since it opened, like Animal is so uniquely you. Yeah. Son of a Gun is so uniquely you and so different from Animal.
Yeah.
And when I first heard about John and Vinny's, in fairness, I was like, how do you do that? Like, I couldn't picture it. I was like, how are you going to take Italian food and make it anything like what I'm experiencing.
I mean, I think it's
you know, did it.
I know, but it's like it's,
we did it and we didn't.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, and it's also it's an art, right? It's like
yeah.
There's so many other foods that Vinny and I could do and probably present in a really cool light and be really fun and unique
now to the city.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's like, how many things do we need to keep showing to show that like we have skill level, you know? And like what we've learned along the way is like, there's, you know, when you find something, it's like any great band, it's like you go there, it's because you want to hear that specific song,
yeah.
You know? And it's like, you know, with John and Vinny's, it's like, it's totally that right now where it's like, yo, we're going to play this and let people play it. And like, we're going to give you everybody meatballs and like fusilli and like gem lettuce. And like, hey, maybe in 5 years we'll introduce something totally new or
right.
10 years, you know, when we're ready to kind of go back into that grind of, you know, creating a new concept. Because creating a new concept is super hard.
I can't.
It takes
imagine.
A lot of brain power.
Yeah. You know? And to have, I think of you like I also associate you with Kismet, Petit Trois, Trois Mecs. Like I attach you to all of those.
Yes.
But when I think really about your essence, I think about Animal, Son of a Gun, and John and Vinny's. Like maybe it's because they're so close together.
Yeah. Well, those we actually design all the menu and stuff.
Right.
With our partners, we kind of work with them based on what's needed for them, what they need, where they need support. I mean, the Sarahs are so talented, and so is Ludo. I mean, Ludo's amazing. I mean, he's probably in our age group, probably one of the guys in our country with the most probably foundation of old school French cuisine.
Right.
It's like there's nobody else I could even think of in America with his pedigree and with his foundation. And like, you know, the Sarahs are amazing. And like, obviously,
they're a whole new school because they're kind of the generation. Ludo's just a little bit older than us, so he's kind of almost like generation ahead, and we're in the middle. And then like we have the Sarahs as partners, and their generation kind of younger than us,
right.
And they provide a whole nother perspective on things. And it's really amazing to be able to work with other talented people outside us and the people that we've kind of brought in around us.
Yeah.
So we get to kind of see their perspective on things and learn from them. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's really
easy. And that's what I was going to say is like, you know, obviously they didn't learn from us. We, you know, it's like we met them, we were attracted to them and their food style and their, and the way that they looked at food and the way that they talked about food and cared about food and like
leadership qualities.
All we wanted to do was try to create opportunity for them and continue to create opportunity for this city, you know, and that's, where, you know, those have blossomed and maybe there'll be other people that are talented like that. But in our core restaurants where we chef and the people that we work with on the day to day, in the grind, like in the cuts, you know, we have so many talented people right now that are just like, you know, this pastry chef that works for us, Jen Shen, it's like the cakes that she's making nowadays, like just right now internally only for like friends and family, but like are just amazing. I mean, they're a piece of art, you know, it's like you're like, this is like cake wars on craft, you know? And like, I hope one day I could create the opportunity where she's able to sell those all over the world and people could see how the skill that she has, you know, or, right now we have Courtney and Craig and Jen Sills, like really focused on John and Vinny's and that brand. And like, it's our responsibility to open more restaurants to create more opportunity for them
because
they'll cap out at where they're at, you know?
And they've given us so much time, you know, in their life that we have to kind of give back in a way where it's like, it's meaningful beyond just a salary, you know? So it's a lot of responsibility that comes along with operating these restaurants now, because at first it was like, it was fun. We wanted to just open a restaurant. It's going to be great. LA, you know, we're here.
Stay up all night, partying.
Yeah.
And then drinking all the wine that you're selling, you know, with people, you know, and without people.
Doing stupid shit. Like we were selling 40s when we opened Animal and you're like,
so good.
Yeah, it was so good. But you're like, wait, the four top just spent $7 on alcohol tonight. This is not what we what you should be doing. Right. But it takes it's experience. It's going through it all, flushing it all out and getting it off your chest. And like, you know, I mean, you're an actor. It's like you read through scripts and you got to find in it. Like you got to find that thing in it, what that person was trying to convey, you know. Yeah. And like
you have to
people want to connect with our message. You know, people right now, like John's saying, are really connecting with the John and Vinny's brand for us personally on our side of the group.
In a major way.
And it's funny because like John and I, like he said, like we look at the food and we're like, this is so simple. We grew up eating this. We grew up, you know, John and I would cook this shit at home all the time but it wouldn't have been the thing that would have given us our legs here in LA if we had done that first.
Yeah. I will say I'm with you because it is. I mean, you guys serve ranch with your pizza.
Hell yeah.
That's how I grew up
eating. Dude, Hungry Howie's, bro. That was it. That's crust dip.
Yeah.
First night we didn't have it. We went upstairs and I started talking with Vin and I was like,
you know, we're missing.
And he was like, what? And I don't know what he thought I was going to say, but I was like, we need crust dip. And he was like,
I thought he was going to say hot dogs. And I was going to be like, you're crazy.
Yeah. Well, I was like, we need crust dip. And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, you don't remember Hungry Howie's? Like, fucking crust dip.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The best part of the pizza is the crust.
Yeah.
And like, it's fun to dip. And then we literally ran it the next night. And after that, we were just like, we can't take it off.
You can't.
That's it. It's on.
But people have scolded us for it. You haven't radically transformed anything, but it is so much better than anything else. Yeah.
It's ingredients based. So that's where it sets it apart.
Okay.
I think, you know, ever from the very start when Vinny and I started cooking together, even pre-animal, I think what always intrigued us was quality of product and how you could take something as basic as like an apple there and have the same variety in apple picked in different times from different parts of the United States and have different taste,
right.
You know? And I think that's, you know, for us, we're like super anal. So like, we think like there's specific salt that we like, there's specific, you know, oil we like, there's specific vinegars we like, and like we're super brand dedicated. So if we call for a specific brand, like French's yellow mustard, it's like, that's what you use. You know what I mean? Like you don't curve it out and be like, oh, I'll just get the cheaper one. You know? And I think, that's just in the condiment side, obviously in the produce and the meat and the, you know, and the cheese, the dairy, everything. It's, we're always pushing that, you know, and obviously we know there's a balance because, you still have to be, your menu price still has to be comparable. And people need to understand what they're paying for. You know, we're obviously on a little bit of the higher side, but we're not on the expensive side. And I think for us, it's always quality.
Yeah.
You know, quality's key. Quality wins. And that's what you taste that. That's what people, when they're eating it, they're like, and it's like, it's because of what's in it before it even started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It has, like, the way Animal got me, John and Vinny's has my kids.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I just am on a diet all the time,
right.
Or I would be eating with them. But if you talk to them, like, where do you want to eat? It's John and Vinny's
every time. I love it.
It doesn't.
Yeah. So many parents say that to us.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to us that we've been able to cross over to that generation.
Yeah.
Right. And like them to be able to recognize and like, you know, it just shows that like, at least the kids here in Southern California, it's like they also recognize quality,
yeah.
You know, and it's like I don't think they're saying they want to go there when they're 3 or 4 years old because they're going there to be seen.
No.
Right. It's
no,
like
they like the food.
They're going there because they like the food.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like we have kids, both of us, you know, not together, but separately. We each have two kids and like each and our kids love it, too.
Yeah.
You know, and like you'll go to their school and it's like all the kids are like, oh, that's John from John and Vinny's, you know? And it's like, it's funny to me because I'm like, it's just pizza and pasta and meatballs and, you know, but it is amazing that you could get like, you know, we have so many kids that come in there and it's like, it's their place and they're like a year and a half.
Even the neighborhood, when Animal opened, it was like, there was a bar across the street that did comedy sometimes.
Yep.
There was Cantor's, there was the Kibitz Room. So it was
a Dime was open.
Yep. But there was no hanging out in that on that strip. There was nothing happening.
Fairfax has evolved so much since when we started. I mean, we've been on Fairfax now for almost 13 years.
Yep.
And like, man, it has changed so much. I mean, when we first landed on Fairfax, there was like Supreme, the stores that you guys mentioned, the Hundreds was just open. But like, other than that, everything else pretty much turned over. And now it's like, man, a space comes available and somebody's on it right away. It's there's so many brands that have
13 years ago, Supreme was not what it is today either.
No.
But that's the other thing is I was going to say is that streetwear in general also evolved where it was like it used to be like only for skaters. And now it's like streetwear has evolved into mainstream.
Fashion,
you know,
fashion,
it's high fashion. It's, you know, people are going to work. It's like. It's more common to see a man in a t-shirt now than in a collar shirt, right? It's like a collar shirt's almost like almost outdated right now.
Yeah.
I keep saying to Vin, we got to bring back the suit and tie.
You know? You probably could. You put that store on that street, you're bringing it back.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and that's what's amazing, but it's been amazing to be part of that culture. And like, there's so many people that literally have grown up on that road from, you know, that we're still friends with and, you know, to see what that street has become.
Yeah, it's wild that, that's the location. It's not Melrose. It's not Hollywood Boulevard.
Totally.
It's Fairfax. Like, that's where my kids want to go spend the day.
Yeah, I mean,
Fairfax.
But it's like, you know, Tyler's out there. He's, you know, he's a superhero for the neighborhood. He went to Fairfax High School. He's got the golf right there. You know, you got Supreme there. You have... Oh, man, there's so many.
The swimming monkey store, I think. The bathing monkey store.
Yeah.
The cat, the alien cat. I don't know the names of them. My kids are obsessed.
Oh, Rip and Dip.
Rip and Dip.
There's so many.
It's wild.
We're definitely, it's definitely a little bit younger than us.
Yeah.
But it's getting younger and younger. It always feels that way. Yeah.
But it's amazing but it's that so those, cool. yeah, and
Dude,
those kids are eating
your getting
food.
Older and older.
Yeah, you're getting older.
You're getting older and older. And it's like those, the youth is still staying the same on Fairfax. And it's been amazing to see it.
Yeah. Know? It is wild. Going back to our night of eating, and this was one of the things that really opened my eyes. Like, I had had Korean barbecue before, and the Korean barbecue that you guys set as number one was amazing, but it wasn't, like, shocking to me.
Mm-hmm.
The tacos were amazing, but I've eaten tacos. I've had cabeza and lengua tacos. Amazing, but not shocking.
Mm-hmm.
You guys found a place that has stayed with me, that I've been to a number of times since, that was one of these places that I cannot, it's almost like an Okie Dog type of a thing that is so weird and wild. It was almost a tandoori chicken on top of fries with
Dino's.
Pico and Crenshaw right around there.
Amazing.
With vinegar, coleslaw, and tortillas. Like the weirdest dish you ever saw.
Yeah, you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah. it was so bizarre and so wonderful.
Yeah, Dino's is the shit. I mean, it's unfortunate last year the owner had passed away and some of the other locations have closed, but that one's still open and it still fires. And I don't know how many years it's been open, but we read about that, I think, in the Zagat book because that was back in the day, pre-internet.
It was that or Jonathan Gold had...
I think it was Zagat for that one.
Something.
But somewhere. And we went and checked it out. We just always loved it. And it still is delicious. I mean, it's still there. It's still delicious, that location. And all your listeners should check it out.
For sure. And they're doing something there that's unusual. Like the fries are almost
like,
British.
Yeah, it's like it's a little bit of it's a mixture of cultures, and that's a beautiful thing about when cultures do mix. And we really tried to show that in Animal as well. Some of those things that we were seeing out there, and like kind of feeling, or you know, that we're all kind of together in this place. You know, it's like we're mixing Thai and Japanese flavors together, and like we're not they're close. They're close in proximity, you know, in the sense like in the world, and like they're here together in LA, and like why not, you know? And Mexican culture, like everything just kind of matches.
Not necessarily looking at where it's from, but just using the flavor components to be able to manipulate or paint with,
right? And they're kind of doing that too a little bit. They're a little bit Greek. They're a little bit American, and they're a little bit Mexican. So it's like it's got this weird mashup that totally worked.
Yeah,
it's a craveable food, you know.
Totally.
And I think like we I love that. I still am obsessed with sort of that, trying to figure out those kind of things. Like, how can you bring these things together in a way? You know, it's like
that's what was so amazing because. Yeah. I see you guys doing that in a higher end scale.
Yeah.
But it reminded we were eating that and I kind of was like, I don't recognize this. This doesn't feel like LA to me. It doesn't feel like anywhere. And I've been all over.
Right.
This is completely unique. Yeah. I never heard of it.
Yeah. It's definitely unique flavors matched up together, and it's, you know, delicious. It's affordable. It's, you know, it's just not really in your neighborhood where you live. So it's a little bit of a drive, but worth the drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it's high acid. It's got
a lot of
vinegar.
Remember we saw that dead pigeon do outside? And I was like, this is what we're going to eat.
And by the way, they would have probably made it delicious.
It was good, right?
Yeah.
Probably. It was not pigeon, though. No, chicken. No.
But pigeon was brought here as food. That was a food source at one point.
Yeah.
I know.
Pigeons are pigeon. Good. Yeah. Mr. Chow serves squab. That's just a fancy word for pigeon, I think.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They're just not eating trash. That's, you know.
Right. It's
ours,
well-fed
ours
pigeon.
Now over on Fairfax are definitely eating the trash.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat those.
Yeah,
no, I mean, unless there was Fairfax
apocalypse. Yeah, yeah.
They're eating like cigarette butts in our trash.
Yeah,
not good stuff.
Yeah, what? So you guys have no plans. You're not working on opening anything else right now. We're working on John and Vinny's right now.
We're working on opening John and Vinny's down in South LA on Slauson. So we're super excited about that. We have. The Sarah's just opened Kismet Rotisserie, so I don't know when this will air, but at some point in the last six
closer
months,
to where you live, right?
Yep.
Yeah, east side.
You should check out. There's a lot of good vegetables there. A nice chicken soup, roasted chicken. You can get all white meat there.
Is it near Kismet?
Literally right next door over.
Oh, great!
Yeah. Right next to the Silver Lake Music Conservatory. Yep.
Great for the family. Pick it up on your way home.
It's a takeout, carryout place.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And
counter service.
Yeah. So we have all those in the hopper and some other things that we're working on, but we're not quite ready.
Okay. No, that's good. That's
you know,
all
until
good.
It's assigned, sale, and delivered.
But right now, John and Vinny's, because, you know, LA, as you know, is really a city amongst many cities.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we have, you know, if you live in the valley and you went to work in Beverly Hills all day and you went back to the valley, it's like you're not coming back over to Beverly Hills or Fairfax to eat at night. You're staying in the valley to eat.
Yeah.
So we really kind of want to, because the food's pretty common at John and Vinny's, and we believe in the quality and what we're doing there, that we really feel like all these neighborhoods could almost kind of handle a John and Vinny's of some scale. You know, we put one in Brentwood, and you know what I always say about Brentwood. Who lives in Brentwood?
All the rich people.
Only people in Brentwood live in Brentwood.
Right.
Or who hangs out in Brentwood. Only people in Brentwood. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a real enclave of the city. And it's the same thing with South LA and the same thing with, you know, mid city. It's like people now, they don't really, once they've gone to work or they've moved around all day, once they get home, they tend to kind of stay in their area for restaurants. And it all makes sense. I mean, I do it myself, you know?
Sure.
And I find my places that I love and whatnot. But I think for us, we really feel like it's in the cards, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, that we can bring John and Vinny's all over the city and scale it up, but not make it feel generic. You know, we're very particular about it.
And make each one kind of a little unique to its own neighborhood, you know, where it's like, whether it's the music or specific, you know, design and t-shirts or the lighting or whatever it might be, that, but still carry that same essence of John and Vinny's. So, like, when you go in, you know exactly, hey, I'm in John and Vinny's. I feel good. I can put my guard down and I can enjoy myself. So that's something right now that Vinny and I are working on. With John and Vinny's Brentwood, that was the first time we ever took, like, a replica and did a replica.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool, fun thing to experience. And now we're going to try doing it again down in South LA. And we're super excited about that one. That one's going to be really fun. Kind of came to birth. We got the location with plans to actually do something else in the location. And then the neighbors kind of found out that we were the new landlords and started emailing the restaurant. So we felt a homage to the neighborhood to bring them what they're asking for.
Right. Good.
So we're super excited.
It was the right thing to do in the sense that it's a really forward facing building down there at Slauson and Overhill. It's a self-contained building. It's not a strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
So we really felt like it was, you know, what the neighborhood
needed from it was to be a public space,
right,
and not to be private, because we originally thought we might go in there and just do catering out of there, which would have then closed it down to the public.
Right.
Which would have probably leaned that block a little more industrial.
Yeah.
You know, which was not good for the neighborhood.
And so, now you'll attract people.
Now we'll attract people. We'll, you know, we'll make the beautiful, you know, the building beautiful. We'll make it, you know, so it's a, you know, really beautiful space inside, and it's quite large, you know, so it takes a good portion up of the block right there. And we're really excited about it. It's really cool to really be able to beautify a building and make it nicer and really welcome people from the neighborhood. You know, it's the same thing with Fairfax. Like, people were kind of pissed about the Damiano's things, and we were like, you know, because it was Damiano's, which was a famous pizza place here in LA before, and the guy really ran it down into the ground, and we're like, listen, we're gonna make this place beautiful, we're gonna make this place a place for everyone to eat, you know, all day, we're open all day, whoever you are, you can come in here and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, I will say about Damiano's, I definitely had, in the early 90s, that was my go-to pizza spot.
Yeah.
But, like, then as an adult, there's just no way I was going to eat food out of there.
No.
Dude, true story, we ate there, like, maybe a month before we took possession. And then when we went to clear it out, there was a dead rat carcass in the fucking oven.
Yeah.
Literally, we definitely ate rat dust from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're here, so we're not dead.
But that is why
it fucking grossed me out.
It was like a barfly.
I felt sick for like a week.
Yeah. I felt
sick for like a week after I saw the rat, just because it was like, it was a rat carcass, like roasted rat bone. You know, like.
Oh God.
Yeah, we found beer cans from like the 70s up in the attic and stuff. It was a wild place.
Yeah.
But
you know, it's just they weren't taking care of it. And that's your job as an owner of a building. You know, it's like you have to take care of things, and you have to take care of the area around you and the neighborhood. And, you know, you really start to realize, you know, as we went on, is that like restaurants are public spaces. You know, this is like this, you literally open your door and anyone can come through.
I know, and
that's cool. And it can also like freak you out when you're like, you know, you feel like you're putting yourself out there for people to judge you, you know, because that's what they do, right? Yeah. It's like you put yourself out there for people to judge you. It's like you put yourself on a big screen. It's like we put ourselves out there on a table and say, like, hey, this is what I've created for you. Like, hopefully you like it, you know? Yeah. And that's a big thing, you know?
Yeah. But this is really why I'm so excited to talk to you guys. I don't eat. My diet is so specific right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are you eating, by the way?
Mostly. I eat a ton of lean protein, fish, and salmon is out because, I mean, I don't even, like, that I have to start counting the fat. But, like, cod and tuna and lean fish, chicken breasts, egg whites, turkey breast. That's basically my protein source. And then protein powder.
What about beans? Yeah, I was just saying.
Not as a source of protein, no, because then there's carbs that I'd have to count to, and it becomes just slightly complicated. Yeah. Like, I do rice, which has a tiny bit of protein in it, as my biggest source of carbohydrates, and then vegetables are basically free. But when I do, every now and again, decide that I'm taking a meal off, I'm not thinking about Domino's pizza. I'm not thinking about McDonald's. I'm thinking about stuff that, like, you guys serve, because it's just become like the best version of what it can be. Like, have you ever heard of Burgers Never Say Die?
Yeah.
So that for me is if God made a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
great.
It's the perfect cheeseburger from my childhood.
What's crazy is that could maybe be worse than eating a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Maybe so, like, you know, calorically, I mean? Yeah,
but
yes.
But it satisfies the craving
at a higher level.
At a higher level where I go, it's got, there's a touch of art in this.
Yeah, you're, you like, if I mean? I'm going, it's the care, too. It's the shopping, it's the technique, it's the care.
Yeah.
It's all of these things blended together is what makes it so great. I love that burger as well, and I think that's what it is. It's like, you're willing to take the hit, you know, for the, yeah, it might be a little more calories even than McDonald's, but I'm willing to take the hit because it satisfies you so deeply.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And it's like, how I remember.
How fast do you eat that thing?
I always get two.
Do you just push them together? Yeah, or no?
it becomes a quad.
Like, I mean, to be honest with you, like even myself, like
if they die.
Yeah,
very good.
I'm 38 right now, and like I'm almost 39, and I've been really like having to watch what I eat as well. You know, my body can't handle like it used to, where it'd be like, oh, we'd go to dinner at 4 a.m. and like I'd wake up like feeling like chipper because I was like still full from the night before. Now it's like I wake up, I'm in pain. It's like I got a hangover, you know, and like I've had to change some of my programs as well, you know, and I think that you got to listen to your body constantly. And like I do, you know, both of us do the same things. It's like, you know, I got things that I know just do not work for me, even though I love them. What's crazy is like the things that usually hurt you the worst are the things that you like the most, yeah. You know, like, and I think that's the reality just in life, not just in eating.
Right.
But you know, it's a balance of it all, you know, eat like the rainbow, you know, I never snack. I love chips. I love snack food, candy, all that shit. It's like, I never hardly ever eat that. Do I? Yes, occasionally I will. But for the most part, it's like, you know, I'm eating cucumbers, I'm eating apples, I'm eating, you know, fresh fruit, I'm eating things that are from the garden more so than like from the shelf.
Yeah.
Which obviously is a little bit easier to digest. You know, and the biggest thing I would say that I pretty much cut out of my life, you know, in the last handful of years is flavored beverages.
Yes.
Coke, juice. Juice is crazy, man. Insane. Juice can be super high in sugar, you know, soup just hard for your body to take in. And the thing is, like, if you have a juice, it's like, that's kind of a meal, even if it's fresh juice, right? Yeah. It's like,
it's a lot of calories.
Totally. So it's like, you know, for the most part for me, it's like I drink, you know, probably close to a gallon of water a day. I know it sounds crazy to say that, but it's like, I'm constantly pounding water, you know, which helps flush out your system. I mean, water's, you know, I mean, you could talk more about it than I do. I mean,
water's very important. Yeah, but you're also in a kitchen, which tends to be a hot place.
You'd be surprised how much time I got to spend at a desk now.
Oh, really?
Right? It's like, I mean, we're close to 800 employees in our company. It's like, there's a lot of desk time that is required to run a business like that. I mean, Vinny and I are still in there, you know, where we can be, but we have guys that have been promoted to chefs, and it's like, it's their job to run the day to day. Do we get in there with them? Yes. You know, it's like a big event or some kind of thing. It's like, we're cooking in South Beach this weekend. It's like, these are all things where, yeah, we are in the kitchen, but we get slayed with like 200 emails plus a day. And it's like, you know, now we got to answer those emails to keep the company moving forward.
Yeah.
So even watching my steps, it's like some days I come home and it's like, you know, I only got maybe 4,000 or 5,000 steps. And it's like, that isn't really enough. Where it used to be like, man, I wouldn't be under 10,000 or even 15,000.
Yeah.
So it's like, what am I doing to make up for those, that time where you're standing up? And like, I'm currently, I just got introduced to the Peloton, and my nickname's Peloton John. So
nice. You're going to have some challengers now.
I mean, I'm not on there as Peloton John. I'm more incognito because I suck, dude. I'm like winded after 20 minutes. And the trainer's like going up and down, up and down. I'm like, fucking, I'm going down. I'm just sitting down, right? Like, luckily my legs keep moving because I don't know why, but they just keep moving. And my feet weren't strapped to the pedals. They probably would stop moving. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, and just trying to find that time to like make sure that I'm keeping myself healthy and like, you know, keeping myself together. Because I think if you're together, you're making clearer thoughts and clearer decisions. And now with having such a big company, it's really important for us to have clear thoughts and to have, you know, be not, you know, laid up and, you know, for something stupid. And, you know, even some of the extreme sports stuff that I used to like doing as a kid, it's like, I never do it anymore because I'm scared of getting hurt. You know, and like being out of work with a broken, you know, ankle for 3 months would not benefit either one of us or benefit the team around us.
Yeah. I had always just thought that you guys were super genetically gifted. Having eaten with you a couple of times, having gone out on like the crazy nights of eating, and then we ate at the Japanese beef, the secret restaurant on Pico too, right?
Yeah,
oh, we did that. Together.
Yeah,
which is 11 least, courses of beef, like a lot of food. Like I've seen you guys eat. I've heard stories about you guys in Montreal and Quebec, killing every Joe Beef and all those restaurants in a night. And so I sit here like the part of me that is truly a glutton or truly an addict going like, that's what they do. They just, they can be totally normal and they just eat like 20,000 calories a day. But so I'm glad you're saying that because it shows that you're also a human being who has to like, you're around this stuff all the time. You can't just do that.
And even like, things like, if we have a full day of tastings with our staff, where, we might not eat dinner with our family, because like, you've already taken in 20,000 calories just at work, you know, and that also is like trying to balance that. And like, and obviously
I had to stop having them schedule us where we were like doing like two or three in a row. I would just, it just hurt
too much food.
It starts to hurt.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, as you get older, it's like your body changes and like what you can do. And like, when I was, 19, 20 years old, it was like I could house stuff and I could still house a lot of food,
right?
Especially for my size. But like, I'm going to feel it that night or that next day.
Yeah. And like, your liver is just like, what'd you do?
What'd you do to me, baby? And you're like, but with that being said, it's like, I still like a gluttonous night, and like, I just can't do it every night like I used to. It used to be 5, 6, 7 nights a week, working late, drinking crazy, eating everything in sight at work, and then going out after work and doing the same thing and just kind of repeating that cycle. And now it's like, man, I got a little kid that's waking me up 5:30 in the morning. And it's like, I'm never ready to get up at 5:30.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no matter how early I go to bed, I'm never ready at 5:30.
Yeah.
And like, it's important for me to be there for them.
Yeah, for sure. That's my number one priority.
Mine too.
Do you think if you guys had come here much earlier and kind of come up in LA restaurants, it would have drastically altered what you did?
I don't know. I mean, you never could, you never know. Like, I never try to ever, and I know Vinny does the same thing. It's like, we're not the kind of guys that ever talk about the past or reflect on the past as much as we live in the present and talk about the future.
Yeah.
And I think that's, there's different people out there, and like Vinny and I, we're definitely different, but that's one thing that we definitely have in common and have for day one is like when we met, we never like basted on our high school days.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like even now it's like, occasionally you might be like, oh, remember that one time we did that? And it's like, yeah, but it's like very rarely are we ever talking about that. We're always like, what's next? What's the future? You know, we're living in the moment, and it makes it, I think, super exciting for us.
Yeah.
There might be one.
Right.
There might be no more after this. Like, yeah. And we're cool with it. We're easy. You're just
focused on what you're doing.
Yeah. We want to make sure that what we have put forth, that we're just doing it well and maintaining it. Because that's really important.
The maintaining is almost the hardest thing. And I think, a lot of people
constantly keep doing new stuff.
Like a lot of people are like, oh, you have all these restaurants. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's like, we have a large debt. From all these, restaurants aren't like necessarily fruitful all the time. It's like we do it out of love, and like I think that's where a lot of people's perception is, different. And it's interesting now because people always know you from when they meet you. Right. And it's like, man, I remember meeting you. You're way bigger, crazy as fuck. Right. We used to get ham together. Yeah. It's like, if I met you now, I wouldn't even known you then, like I would only know you at this point in your life.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing goes for us, and for us, I think we feel like we still have so much more to do. Like we don't feel like we're done. Just like you feel like you were saying, I'm going to put on 5 pounds of muscle. I'm going to do this. It's like the same thing for us. It's like we're thinking that same way where it's like, but if it ended tomorrow, we would look at each other and be like, wow, that was amazing. Even just with Animal, if nothing else came after Animal, like that still would have been amazing,
By the way, beyond amazing.
Yeah.
Animal, I still think like I'm glad you guys, I think anything you create, the minute you stop making sure it's there, it's going to go away. So you must have awesome people. If you guys are highly focused on John and Vinny's because it's the most recent thing, you must have awesome people running Animal.
We have awesome people running Animal. We have always had awesome people in there. We spend time in there. We don't spend as much time as we did when we were opening it. Right. Obviously, like, we were literally everything.
Yeah,
like,
I would come and go, like, in the kitchen. Always be there. You were there. Always. You guys were cooking. Every night.
We tried to kind of pull it together. I think there was about a 2-year run there where you couldn't find one of us there in that kitchen in the beginning. And I think that really kind of helped us not only understand the business and what we were doing there and refine it and get that idea tighter and kind of really understand who we were as a restaurant. It also allowed us to be able to manage it in a way where we would have never been able to manage it, say, you know, if we would have been like, all right, guys, see you later after 3 months, you know, like, we're on to the next project. That's what I was saying, is that it's easy to constantly keep doing another project because you keep moving to the next thing.
Yeah.
But going back and visiting the old becomes hard because you have to fine tune it. Yeah. You have to kind of constantly keep it interesting and constantly add to it and adjust and see what things, you know, people aren't eating as many. We've noticed through our trends within our group, maybe it's not everywhere, but that people aren't committing to as many big dishes in the menu. It's like, so we actually skewed it to where people can order a lot more small things, still enjoy a lot of different flavors and a lot of different techniques and a lot of different interesting things, but they don't have to commit to one dish that might be $85 or two dishes that are $25 and $35. You know, it's like there's still those things in the menu, but you can come in there and eat things that are like $10, $9, $17, $15, $13. There's a lot of that in the menu now.
Right.
And they're smaller and the flavors still punch, but it's just that thing. It's like we've gone back into it. I was there today, you know, working on a new dish, and like we just constantly try to keep it up, you know, and the same thing with Son of a Gun. And we have great people there. You know, the chef that's actually there has been there the entire time since we opened.
I love Son of a Gun.
Son of a Gun slaps. It's good, man. It's like, that's a great throwback for us to just like the way we grew up eating and kind of like tweaking those things that you
Hush
never,
puppy and ham.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. things you also didn't see all the time.
I think, you know, it's like, we're not an Animal every day. We're not a John and Vinny's every day. We can't be everywhere every day. Like, let's
here
just
right
be
now.
Honest.
We're here
doing a podcast. Who's running
the ship?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of good people are running the ship right now.
There's one thing, and like we say it in our staff meetings, it's like, I might not be in here every day, but my heart and soul's in this building.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like anything that we're going to attach our name to, we put our heart and soul into that atmosphere. And like you feel it when there's a problem.
Yeah. Right?
And it's like you kind of have this kind of weird instinctual feeling, like the way you do with your kids, because you have kids, so you understand that feeling. And that's the only thing that I can relate it to, is like having a kid, a restaurant, and they, you know, they need constant nourishment. They need constant supervision.
Love,
they need constant love. They need constant education. They need all these things that take a lot of time from you. And it's like when you're not with them and like, you feel their pain, right? And it's like, and if you're with them and you see the pain, you feel it even in another way, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I tell that to our staff. It's like, every one of our restaurant, I know where every drain line is. I know where every piece of equipment is. And like, man, I might be 2 years since when I last looked at that piece of equipment, but when I go to look at it, it should have been maintained the way it was.
Right.
Maintenance the way it was and located in the same spot. And like, there's a lot of times when people call us over the phone now that work for us, and it's like we got to navigate it through FaceTime or through photos. It's like there's a person right now on our team that's in Brooklyn working on a frozen pizza line that we want to put out there this year, and like she's sending us video at like 6 a.m. of production that's happening in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Literally.
And so like, we'll be able to get John and Vinny's pizzas in a supermarket? Did we just drop a bombshell?
Well, it hasn't been solidified, but like this is the way things come into us. You know, it's like you see these are different pepperonis that she's talking about, and like here's production going on right here. Cool music, by the way. I'll mute it. But you can see there's like production going on. She's showing you all the different stages, the cooking process in the oven, you know, coming out of the oven. And it's like, obviously we're looking at this, and then like she's blast freezing it and shipping it to us. And then we're testing it here in LA. So it's like
the reheating process.
On the reheating and just what's it look like when it freezes and ships and like is packaged and like.
Yeah, maybe it's just Amazon drones drop it at your house.
Bam. Like an hour after. You know, and it's like. For us, it's like, you know, right now we don't know what we're going to do with it, to be honest with you.
You could do something
radical. But we're studying it.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like trying to understand
it. We've been deep on it.
We've been deep for months.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, like, for me, if I'm going to eat a pizza, I'm only going to eat a John and Vinny's pizza. Like, as of today, when I have that meal scheduled, that's what it's going to be. And I'm going to get the the crust dipping sauces.
But it's like, move out to DiGiorno, you know?
Right.
And here comes John and Vinny, hopefully, you know? It's like, but it's the idea is, like, we had somebody that was interested in it. They wanted to study it. We were interested in it. We wanted to study it. So it was like, now we're deep in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we've invested a lot of money. We've invested a lot of time. We've invested resources. Do we have distribution? Maybe somebody that's listening to this podcast is going to call us up and be like,
I got an idea.
I got a spot.
Here's how we do it.
I got a spot.
I have 10,000 drones that can carry pizzas. And so, we will drop them down chimneys. That would be amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are, you know, the things where it's like, these are the kind of things we're working on and that we're doing. And like, even though I'm not in Brooklyn right now, there's a part of me that's there.
Right.
You know, with Courtney, I know she loves it. I know she loves us. I know she loves the brand. I know she loves pizza, you know, and it's like that relationship is what's going to create an amazing product.
Yeah. I will say that is probably one of the hardest things about, you know, about dieting and the things that, you know, from a restaurateur's perspective and a chef's perspective is that we got into this because we deeply love food.
Yeah.
You know, we love the taste of food. We love the geeking out about how it's made and how you can make it better and constantly making it delicious is something that we loved from the go. You know, like day one, that was really kind of what drew me in. You know, the culture and the actual food itself and the making of the food, creating something, right? And it's like, you know, now, given our age and given things that are, you know, you're looking at when you're like, oh, I want to go try, you know, this, or I want to go try this place. It's like, it's hard sometimes to stop yourself. Cause if it is really good, because if you've read about this place, right, it's like you want to go to John and Vinny's, right. And you're like, I want to go there. And then it's like, okay, well, you still have to control yourself.
Right.
Right. It's like, I want to go to John and Vinny's too. I want to eat chicken Parmesan. You want the fried calamari.
Yeah.
I want to eat the, you know, the rigatoni cacio pepe. I want to go all in. You know, but I have to be like, all right, I'll order an arugula salad with Parmesan and I'll eat I'll eat the Jersey marinara pizza. And I'll have dessert.
Lowest calorie pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's the lowest calorie. It's just tomato sauce and garlic and oregano. And like, it's very good. I actually love it.
Real pizza geeks say that's how you judge a pizza.
Right.
Is actually on the marinara.
Sure.
Not on
all the shit you put on top.
Yeah. That hides the pizza.
Yeah. No, but if I'm going to have a fried chicken sandwich, I'm going to Sonny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my kids will get into like, who does it better, Popeyes or this place? And I'm like, this is not. That place makes 10,000 of those a day. They're all frozen. Like, it's what are you facility. Talking about? Yeah. Let's go eat a real fried chicken sandwich. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm not going to drive to Culver City to Ford's place because he makes a good chicken sandwich too.
Yep.
That's the other side of the universe for me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The
but
city.
Like, there is a window where you can like touch artistry with food, you know what I mean? And you guys have perfectly done that. And
Thank you. And
you've changed the landscape of Los Angeles.
Thank you. Yeah, it really does come from a place of like real love with, you know, love of restaurants, love of food, and love of creating things and wanting to make people happy. You know, I think that's something people tend to forget in general. And I always say this to people. It's like, just remember, most restaurants you go to, especially if it's supposedly a nice one you've heard about, or, you know, you heard it's not some generic brand, right? Most of the time, these people have put a lot of love into this restaurant.
Yeah.
And their goal is to make you happy.
Yeah.
You know, and like, listen, there's a lot of other humans that
that come between us when we're actually doing these places, right? That we need to kind of help facilitate the needs of a customer, right? And if that person may have had a bad day, they may come off a little bit short or snarky to you, or, you know, like it, they have a bad attitude, and that's not our goal, but we're dealing with humans here, lot of humans, and we all react differently. We all come, man, the hungry adults are case study. Then, and it is a real thing, man. Yeah. It's like hungry adults coming into a restaurant 5 minutes before their reservation and expecting that thing to be ready, that table to be ready, is really real, especially for those hostess. Yeah. And who's at the host stand usually? Usually it's young individuals who are in their early 20s. You know, it's like it's a job after they go to, they're in college or something, you know, and it's like, you know, they have to take on a lot of pressure from those people, but their life skills that they'll have forever dealing with that if they're good at it. But it can be a lot, you know. People are usually not that forgiving, you know, with things like that. And we have a lot of expectations to meet at a restaurant, especially where we're at. You know, it's like, here we are doing a podcast. It's like there's articles, there's things that they've heard about it. It perpetuates now through social media and Instagram and Twitter and all these other things that then leads to a lot of pressure for our people to perform. Yeah. You know, it's like watching an athlete, right? It's like, oh, well, I expect the San Francisco 49ers next year to be amazing. It's like, well, every game's different. Every year's different. They got a little bit older. Like, are they going to be as good as they were last year? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you hope to be, you condition, you train for it, you know, and that's kind of like how we run the restaurants too. Well, it's like you're constantly, I don't know, is that guy tonight on saute, is he going to not use enough salt in your bolognese? I hope he does.
That there is a level of professionalism also. So I don't wind up at restaurants very often, and all time is about a mile down the hill from my house. So we walk there,
right?
And there's a fish and rice dish, and I kind of know exactly that I can eat it and doesn't mess up my calories.
Yeah.
So I wind up there because my wife likes going out to eat.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve, we have kids. Suddenly on New Year's Eve, all the kids have plans because they're all think they're adults now, and some of them are actually adults. And so suddenly we're like, well, what do we do? And we're going to go to her friend's house in the Valley. And for me, the idea of the Valley is there's nowhere to eat.
Right.
Nothing exists in the Valley that's good, like food that isn't a chain.
Right.
We go to our friend's house. We're like 6 hours early, so we're just in the Valley, like hungry. We pop into Petit Trois on Ventura, and it's New Year's Eve. We're expecting to just get like yelled at and laughed at, and they figured out seats at the bar for us.
Yeah.
And they were so nice, and they treat us as though we were actually expected to be there. You know what I mean? I mean, I imagine it
not always though does it work that way.
I know.
But I'm glad that you're saying this, you know, and I didn't know you were going there. I know Vinny didn't either as well, but like we try to do that for every guest.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work out.
It's the only time I've ever been there.
That's so cool.
I don't look anything like if any of those people saw me at the one in Hollywood, I certainly don't look the same as when I was last there. So there was nothing like oh, we know you've been to our, not at all. It was literally like two people walked in. It's New Year's Eve. Let's figure this out for them was the vibe.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was great.
It takes all those great people. And if they're in the right mood and they're doing their job and like, man, if all cylinders are firing, it's like, it's on. Those restaurants can be on, you know? And it's like, but man, if you catch a bad attitude at anybody, I don't care what restaurant it is, like at the front door, you walk in, you're hungry, you're running 15 minutes late, you had a stressful day at work. It's like, and you just have one person to set you off. It's like 9 times out of 10, I read like Yelp reviews on not just like, I read them just for threads, on common threads within our group. But sometimes I just go on a restaurant just because I want to know where I use it for locations a lot. Right. And, I go to look at it and, you know, I'll scroll down, look at a couple, just like what people say. And it's like, usually 9 times out of 10, the person that's upset is upset from something that usually happened like at the front door or at their table with another employee.
Right. It has nothing to do with the food.
It's actually not the food usually.
Yeah.
Usually. Sometimes it is. Sometimes right. it is. But 9 times out of 10, I find it to usually be with some sort of servicing. It's humans interacting with each other, you know?
Yeah.
And, it, you know, that's the goal is to do exactly what we had happen to you there at that yeah. restaurant. It's like, you came in, you didn't know what to expect. You were expecting the worst, maybe, and you got the best.
But it's also, like, it's like...
And hopefully it made your day, and hopefully the food was good. And like, but you're going to eat there, sitting there, being like, this was great. I didn't have to fight for this. Like
it was perfect. It became yeah. a perfect night.
Yeah.
And it's also the valley where I grew up.
Right.
And my idea of the valley was fast food and then a couple of random restaurants that were passable.
Right.
Was, you know, and a few good delis. That right. was it.
Yeah.
But really, I would never in my wildest dreams be driving to the valley to eat. Ever. And right. now they have good food.
Yeah.
Which it's is food. Wild. Yeah.
It's good. It's gotten better. And I think LA keeps getting better and it keeps spreading, you know, yeah. which is great for the city. You know, it brings tourism here. You know, people are coming to LA to eat because yeah. they want to come on like a 4-day, you know, we're going on an eating trip.
And yeah.
Like it's exciting to be just a part of it, you know, like we're on people's list. Like one of those restaurants that we mentioned, you know, whether it be the Sarah's or Ludo's or ours, it's like it's on somebody's list
for sure
to come here and eat at. And yeah. that's very exciting to be a part of. And I think that that's that big picture thing of like, wow, we're a major part of like a major city in the world. Like yeah. that is,
and it's,
that feels really cool, you know?
Like, yeah.
And hopefully it feels really cool to all the people that work with us, you know?
And I am literally the guy like that is, I have gone to Beijing to eat Lee Kuan roast duck.
Right.
I've done a trip to London to eat St. John's. I've gone to Chianti to have Dario cook me a steak on his roof. Like I've traveled just to eat because yeah. I'm into it. I've gone Which to Montreal awesome. To eat poutine. Like I'm into it.
Yeah.
And the fact that I grew up thinking the only way to eat food is to get out of Los Angeles. That thought is not real anymore because we now have insanely good food. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Awesome, man.
This was the cheat meal.
Cheat meal.
And now for the Q&A. This question is from Doug. I find my biggest battle is sugar. I start a good trend on weight loss, and then the sugar addiction takes over, and then the mindset of, well, I already ate that. Might as well eat everything. What can I do to curb the sugar crave? The thing that I did, Doug, well, thank you for the question, Doug. The thing that I did was I just completely excised sugar from my diet entirely for a long time. Not forever, but if having a little bit of it is going to lead you to having a lot of it, don't have any. Just get rid of it. You can certainly have carbohydrates that aren't sugar. I don't know if that's what you're saying. It says your biggest battle is sugar. So I would just say get rid of sugar. You know, if it's like I can't just drink one Coca-Cola, I drink the 6-pack. Don't drink any. Don't put that in your house. I can't eat just one M&M. I eat the whole bag. Don't buy M&Ms. That would be my suggestion to you. And if you're having carbohydrates, get them from some other source, rice, a piece of bread, a potato, a sweet potato, some beets. I mean, you could even eat a handful of carrots and get some good carbs out of them. That is my recommendation for you, Doug. Thank you for your question. If you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast, please submit it to AmericanGlutton.net. Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee, and as always, joined by my chaperone, Paige Dorian. Follow us on Instagram @AmericanGluttonPodcast. Sincerely.